knowledge, to your knowledge, temperance, to temperance, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And what I'm saying is there's a growth that takes place. And when people cut short the gospel, because the gospel is all the promises of God, not just, you know, I really want to get to the end of this chapter, and I'm gonna probably harken back to this idea about what the gospel is, what the good, because gospel means good news, right? And what is this good news? What is this good message that God has given? I mean, is it just you're going to be saved from hell? That's a question. You know, is that all it is? You know, you get to go to heaven. The gospel is go to heaven, because good news isn't believe or repent, though that's part of it actually. Repent for, etc. But what I'm saying is it can be part of the preaching of the gospel. What I'm saying, but it's not just that. See, it's not just belief. But I mean, good news is actually there's some good thing. There's a blessing, you see, is what I'm getting at. There's a spiritual blessing from God in heavenly places in Christ. You know, these are exalted things. These are high places. You know, in fact, this is one of the only places where, you know, we can really talk about going to heaven. You know what I mean? And I don't want to wait till I'm dead to go to heaven. I want to be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places right now. Because, see, the Apostle Paul talked about not living in the flesh. You know what I mean? So if you're not in the flesh, what are you? You're in the spirit. Okay, but you are still literally in the flesh. But spiritually, you're lifted out of that, the confines of the body, of the lusts. You know, as Paul had said in the book of Galatians, also in chapter 1, that really, Christ died, Galatians 1:4 says, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. See, that's good news. Right? But it, you know, it's not something we wait for till we die. It begins now. We are brought into heavenly places now. And so, I'm getting a little away from this verse, but I guess it's because I'm looking at the way people twist. You know, they want to say the gospel road is what's predestinated. You know, but not the people. Now, of course, now the reason I brought that up is because there are many passages which make it clear the individuals are predestinated, not though the way is predestined. I mean, you know, the way we have to be is ordained of God also before the foundation of the world. But he also ordained who would be like that. And if, you know, from the many places where he talks about, you know, whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. And, you know, there's a whom, it's all about who, not about for what he did predestinate, he also did proclaim, and what he proclaimed, he also did make a way of justification, and what he made a way of justification, he also made a way of glorification. See, that's the kind of language Paul would have to use. But he doesn't use that kind of language, and that was a paraphrase of Romans chapter 8, verse 30. But in Romans chapter 9, he made clear, you know, he makes some vessels to mercy and other vessels to wrath. You know, the vessel is a reference to the individual. And if that's not clear, you know, you need to probably go back and listen to the book of Romans, especially chapter 9, though I would not just take one chapter out of that book. I would take the whole book. Though, that would be one chapter that might slip out there okay. Anyways. So, he did predestinate that we, right? Not some. You know, if it was just a predestinate, well, he didn't know who, then it would be, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that, not us, wait a second, no, it can't be us, because that would be somebody specific, like he chose us. No. He hath chosen a way in him before the foundation of the world, that some should be holy and without blame before him in love, that being determined by whether or not they choose to trust in the cross. I like that. I sometimes use other terminology to indicate the abortive gospels. And see, I said before abortion, but it's because, you know, Christ is being formed in us. But there are ways out there, church ways. They're all, in fact, I turn on the radio and I hear it constantly. All these ways, and what they are is they're spiritual abortion ways. Because they cut you off, they cut Christ off before he's formed in people. At least their teachings do. And the problem is, see, doctrine is what saves us because it's what guides our faith. And false doctrine, the reason it's so grievous is it causes people's faith to be aborted. It doesn't cause the works of God to happen in people. And say, I don't say it doesn't cause them to do the works of God, though they will do them. But the problem is the works of God aren't things that we do that emanate from us, but they are things that are done in us that emanate from God through us. And they're worked out in the world and seen on us. But anyways, he wants us to be without blame before him in love. You know, that's another aspect of the false gospel, is they always say, well, the God imputes, see, you believe God, and then he starts believing too. He starts believing you're righteous. So even if you sin, he looks at you and he doesn't see your sin. He sees Christ's righteousness. Now that's something called imputation. They usually call it that. And it's pretty right because it says Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And even though while we are yet in our sins, God still looks at us as righteous. We who are the chosen according to his purpose. But even though he's looking at us as righteous, there is this expectation that he is going to cause a work in us that's going to bring us ultimately to a realization of righteousness in this present world. Just like Paul taught in the book of Titus chapter 2. And what did he say there? He said, but the grace of God I'm wondering what the verb is there, that leadeth till salvation, which bringeth, I think it's which bringeth salvation, or teacheth. Grace hath taught us. What is it that it says there? Let's find out. Real quick, Titus. For those of you who've heard all this before, well, I'm just laying the groundwork again because I realize people are going to kind of just jump into Bible studies, and it always bears repeating, right? And sometimes these things need to be repeated for people. It says,